Praise God. Amen. I know y'all was getting your worship on. I could see in the back of my head, y'all was worshiping up in here. We got some worshipers, and God inhabits the place where they're worshipers. But I just want to pause for 1 second and introduce a young man that I met on the streets of New York City, and he had a heart for God's people because a friend of his was murdered just by standing in the wrong place, and we were doing prayer walks, and when our hearts connected, it was just so dynamite. And I just want Brother Keith, if he could just give us a selection real quick, and then I'll come right back with the word. Is that okay? Amen. Brother Keith, would you join us? Brother Keith Pope. Thank you so much. I have no idea what to touch. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen, Brother Keith.
I want y'all to actually sing this song with me. It's a song everybody can share at the cross.
Amen.
You guys
Amen.
Know it? Yeah. All right. At the cross, at the cross,
where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there. By faith, I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Sing it again.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
I'ma switch it up. Oh, amazing grace,
how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I was lost,
Amen.
But now I'm found.
But now
I see.
Y'all can stand up.
at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now
I'm happy all the day. I'm going to switch it one more time. Must Jesus bear the cross along?
Yes.
While all the world goes free.
Yes.
You know that there's
yes.
a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Oh, at the cross,
where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Amen.
My brother, bless you. Bless you. Amen. Amen. Good morning, Finland Mennonite Church. What's popping? What's happening? I have to remember the context in which I stand before you so that I don't throw you a slip. It is truly a great honor and a privilege to be here. I thank first my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I thank Brother Dave, who we met 2 years ago or so, getting gas on, I think, the Pennsylvania Turnpike on our way to Pittsburgh, and there was a busload of your young people headed. And I was privileged to share in the workshops out there at the conference. And it's just been a blast. And then I spoke to Pastor West and found out, East, excuse me. I see, no. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Because see, we have east and west. So, and I was like, wait a minute. Well, it's west and east. Did I get it right? It's went and east. Meanwhile, it's been just a joyous occasion. And I want to thank you guys, each and every one of you, for contributing to the awesome toy drive that took place in New York City. So many lives were impacted and children that were blessed beyond measure. And just to know that there are people that not only say they love Jesus, but they duplicate and model and emulate what Jesus has done by looking out toward those that are least fortunate. So it was just a blast. And all my homies that came up on the bus, all of those that I've met. I'm going to say this, and you can figure it out, and maybe some of your kids will help you later on. But we've had dumb, stupid, crazy fun up in this place. I said, well, dumb and stupid fun. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like it's good. And we've had a great time, and I praise God for relationships. Collins, we're going to kidnap Collins and take him to New York. And so just like he's got a passion. And Pastor John and I were talking briefly, and we're only 2 hours away, but it just seems so far removed at times. But the great part about being here is that God brings us to be one. And I had no idea that I would be here. I'm extremely nervous. And they said, no, just relax. It's okay. That's easy to say. You're sitting there. No, just relax. But I'm confident in who I represent and whose I am that will allow me to speak what God has given me. I'm excited to be here. You guys rock down here. I don't understand Dave in the shorts, but by and by. Lisa, thank you all. Thank you all. There's just so many people. If I start naming them and mix them up, I got my crew from New York. I got the crew from Infinity New York Church in the Bronx, which is a church plant that I was a part of probably like 8 years ago. And then when you move forward, you have like Cherise and some other folks that came out of that helped to plant the church, Infinity Mennonite Church in Harlem. So it's pouring in and watching God give up a harvest. So this is a great topic to talk from this morning. Amen. And I have 20 minutes to do this in. Now, did I mention that I used to be a Baptist preacher? And 20 minutes is just the introduction. No. So, oh, Lord Jesus. Let's read this scripture. Amen. And Pastor Chris, thank you. And where's Jenny? Jenny over there with Chloe and Logan. Chloe's going to give me a ride on her all-terrain vehicle. Dude, a four-year-old ripping through the woods, zipping through the woods. That's way removed from New York. Now, I must admit, I came from a farm in North Carolina, so I understood, you know, farming. You know, you get up when it's dark and you go to bed when it's dark, and there's never a day that you can't find some type of farm work to do. Amen. We got some farm work today. Praise the Lord. I got Logan and Chloe over there. They'll say amen, nobody else. So I understand the context of farming because I come from there. But I was blown away when I was on this tour yesterday, and this guy, this great big monster, like it would be in one of those monster shows with the tires are this big. He probably said, "Oh, dude, we see that all the time," right? But the cab of this thing was enclosed, and it had air conditioning. And, man, when I was on the farm, you know, North Carolina, we had one John Deere, and we thought we were important on that neighborhood. In that neighborhood, we had a John Deere as opposed to the farm mall and the Ford. And you got a big John Green. And then we had a John Green tobacco wrapper. I don't know anything about that, right? And that gave us a break from having to hand the leaves as kids. So this thing come like, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Now they got air conditioning in this place. Oh, my goodness. You don't even have to get hot farming. Now, if I'd have known that, I might have considered being a farmer. Not. Okay, here we go. Let us get into the scripture so we can move. Praise God, praise God. Listen, it says, and Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Amen? There's some stuff going on here, right? And my farmers can roll with me. And any farmers in here, just put your hand up. If you farmed once or twice or went by, praise God, you in a dying breed, young fella. You want to come back to New York with us? You look like you're the only one in here. Now, I know some people that probably know some people that farm, but we don't do that around here anymore. I told my dad when I left the farm, I ain't going back down there. Never worry. Never worry. That's right, Chloe. Never worry. Never to happen again. But it's okay. You can roll with me. We'll take you back to New York. Praise God. But I have had that experience. And if we look at chapter 9, you'll see that Jesus has done quite an he's had an extensive day, if you would, not just a day. But if I wanted to understand, well, who is this Jesus and why is he talking about a harvest right now? I want to explore his DNA if I could. So what's the problem, dude? We're talking about Jesus, no disrespect, right? So Jesus has been busy. And what has he been busy doing? If you look at chapter 9, you'll see that he's healed a cripple. He's even helped a woman with the issue of blood. He's even raised someone from the dead. He's been in the synagogue having dialogue with some of those legalistic Pharisees that knew more about the law than God, Jesus' son himself. So he's been having this engagement of people, and he's moving somewhere. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is moving somewhere. No. The two people said that. That's cool. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is moving somewhere. See, there's a fluid continuity. Jesus is doing some things, and he's showing, and he's modeling an example. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing, he's delivering, and he's setting those that are ignorant straight for the course to understand, no, my brother, it's wrong. And so he's challenging them about their thinking, but he's more concerned also about those that are downtrodden. So it says he had compassion, which is beyond, I'm feeling some kind of way for you, but it was translated to say, hey, you know what? I empathize. I sympathize. I want to do something for you. It's intrinsic that I do something for you to help you where you're at. And because he felt that way, he was healing. He was raising. And he was straightening out some folks that had the message wrong, if you will. So now you have Jesus right here, and he's talking to his disciples. See, I thought I had more farm people in the room when I was thinking about this. But if you have farmers, the laborer, or you have workers, don't say that. there are a group of people that migrate to this country seasonally to do work that typically we don't want to do. And because they do what they do, we get fresh produce in our grocers. And we get other things, but we don't do that work because it doesn't pay. But there's plenty of it. I'm not saying who, I'm just saying there are a group of people that migrate. And the point that I'm making is that they're there because there's a work to be done. And the person that needs the laborers, he's not concerned about their DNA or their immigration status in some instances. He has fruit, he has product, he has produce that needs to be harvested before it goes bad. So he's vested in making sure that his product doesn't die on the ground and it makes it to the supermarket. I digress right here. At one of the places that we were at yesterday, we realized that Land O'Lakes, you know, I buy that butter. And the guy supplies the milk. I was like, wow, dude. So I took a picture. That's so cool. So next time I buy Land O'Lakes, I'm going to think about you, dude. I'm supporting your cause in New York. Okay. Did you guys know that? Of course. I mean, I can't surprise you guys with what you have down here. But I was thoroughly impressed, right? So the point that I'm making with the harvest, you have to get it up while it's in season. And there's a season in which you have to get out there and get it, because if you don't, it's going to die on the ground and all your work and all your labor is in vain. Somebody say amen. And what Jesus is saying right here, he's talking to the disciples. He's like, yo, it's time to get it going. See, he's moving from what I can do to what you can do. He's empowering them to do something that before they were watching Jesus do. I'm talking to somebody. Somebody's sitting around saying, somebody gonna do it, but they don't need me. I don't matter. Oh, they got a great team over there just doing it, and you're just watching the grass grow. God is speaking to us through Jesus that we need to get moving. There's some work that needs to be done. And if somebody's passing your way, you have an opportunity to engage them with the gospel, whether in a kind act or sharing or praying or visiting in the hospital. It's that we want to do those things because we're going to engage them with Jesus. But if they go along their way and they encounter us and we don't share Jesus, we just missed an opportunity to keep somebody from, do we use that word? You can get with this, or you can get with that. Y'all know what that is, right? And we don't have to say that word in here, right? We can say that word? Yeah, there's a hell. There is a hell. And here's my question to us this morning. What in hell do we want? Exactly. If we don't want it, why do we want it for our friends or for that stranger? God desires that his people, that us, that we are called by his name, us that have confessed him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to move out and move forward, not because I've got six horses or whatever he's blessed us with, two suit jackets. He wants us to be able to use what he's given us and invest it back in the vineyard. So he's telling his disciples, it's time for you guys to get up and do what I'm telling you, what you've already seen me do. See, he modeled what he wanted them to do. He was a disciple. He discipled them, so he's teaching them. He's showing them how to pray. He's showing them how to heal. He's giving them enough information to talk to the naysayers and say, okay, this now is your turn. Tell your neighbor, it's your turn. Oh, I forgot to tell you, this is a challenge. Back in the day, they had a Pepsi and a Coca-Cola commercial, and it was called the challenge. And you had to determine which one of these was this. Tastes like her and it tastes like her. But today's challenge is, will you move forward for Jesus or will you continue where you're at? Somebody say amen. It's getting tight. But it's all good. And this is love because we all love Jesus. Amen. And I'm just here as like the guy said, I'm just one crying in the wilderness to remind us what God has called us to do. Because sometimes we become complacent in or we allow our situation and circumstances to overshadow what God has said. Well, there's death. These kids don't act right. Well, the economy is bad. God's economy is never bad. Never. What did he do with two fish and five loaves? Fed the multitudes. What? And there was some left over. How many people have an overflow abundance? Do you know that? So this morning, the conversation is, there's work in the vineyard. I remember when I was a kid, they had this story. I don't even know. I recall it. So if it's different, this is how I see it, okay? They had this hen. And the hen says, well, who will help me harvest? And nobody wanted to help. The hen goes and does the harvest. Now, she's like, oh my, who's going to help me bake this? So she bakes it. Who's going to help me eat this? Hey, everybody's hungry now. Everybody's hungry. But on the farm that I grew up in, you didn't eat until you did your chores. When it was time to eat, you had been out, you'd moved the cow, we only had one, and you had to take him to another place so he can graze because they've been there all day, there's nothing else left to eat. I'm like, the cow is big enough, it don't need anything else. Boy, if you don't get over there and get that cow and get it on the other side, you will have something to talk about later. And if y'all know what I'm talking about, you didn't want to have that conversation later behind the woodshed. I don't even know if y'all know anything about that. You don't want to go behind the woodshed. Not with my uncle. So you did your chores. And talking about abundance, I remember moving an egg or two. I can't remember. But they were a bunch of eggs. So being from New York, on that night in October when everybody goes bananas, we normally throw eggs. So I threw one or two, maybe three, bunch of eggs. And I had a conversation with my uncle behind the woodshed later. Because he wanted to teach me the importance, I don't know. It's just an egg, dude. But there's value in that. And it was a harvest, and I was wasting it, that it could have been used for something. The point that I'm making here today is there's a harvest that's out there, and God wants us to be out there as directional signals, kind of like, hey, this way. Like those guys at the airport, you know, they bring them in. Hey, this way for Jesus. How do they see this way for Jesus? Based on how we love on them. Based on how we say we love Jesus. The actions speak louder than words. Somebody say, you know Jesus?
Yeah, I know Jesus.
When's the last time you did something for Jesus? He don't need my help. Yes, he does. We're one in the body. He died on that cross and rose on the third day that all would be saved. And sometimes we'll run across people that we don't think that they should have the grace that God has given us. What do you mean by that, preacher? Shoot, they got themselves into that problem. They should figure it out themselves. Shoot. I'm worried about us foeing no more. And sometimes in our thinking, when we want to do rational things, we sometimes tend to shed out what God would have us to do. I'm challenging us today to be that harvest. Not the harvest, to be the harvesters. Is that such a word? Praise God, I got one. Amen. And what Jesus is saying here to his disciples, I've modeled an example of what it is that we ought to do. I'm not telling you to do something I know nothing about. I've given you a living example of what needs to happen. Will you follow me? And then in chapter 10, which we didn't get to, he moves forward and he tells them that you, and he commissions them in the latter part of Matthew's, but in 10, he's telling them that you can heal the sick, you can raise the dead, you have been empowered. Does that make sense? I mean, it's like, wow, it's like when I was a kid, they had, I'm sorry, context, I don't know, but they had this big cartoon robot called Gigantor. Anybody know that one? All by myself. And this thing with when they would juice him up, you know, these clamps would fall off his hands, and then he's standing like this, and then he's like, and he comes up like this, boom, 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 boom. And when this comes together, he's totally juiced, and he's ready for whatever. And you know, when Gigantor shows up, there's gonna be a solution, and he's gonna fix the problem. It's like, yes. I've got Gigantor, yes. Gigantor, boom. What seems to be the problem? And I'm saying to us today that we have Jesus. What seems to be the problem? There's no problem that we can't fix. And what I love about Jesus and what he's asking us to do here, don't just leap into the fire. Let's pray. Let's pray for those that will be the ones going into the harvest. It very well may be us. There's a harvest, and it needs to get up off the ground. We need to get it in a box, get it up off the ground before it spoils. We need to reach out and catch some people on their journey to hell. We need to interrupt their flow. But what does that look like in your context? I don't know. It may be just praying. It may be going. It may be money. I don't know, but you'll know. But the first place we want to go to get the answer is on our knees. Somebody say, on my knees? It's been a while. It's okay. Some people say, it's been a while. I'm not going to say it's been a while in church. Somebody may hear me. I don't want the pastor to know that. And in our lives, sometimes we're so busy. Lord, I'm going to pray as soon as I get home. Oh, man, I forgot devotion this morning. And you know when you've forgotten devotion, because today it's like Doris and Dorothy and the Wiz. Everything's turned upside down and you can't figure out. Like, whoosh, whoosh, and you're just being moved and torn. You say, wait a minute, stop. Lord Jesus. And when you stop and realize, and sometimes even though you have prayed, you find yourself in it, but God is guiding you through. He's with that navigator system, he's just moving you through. Just go right there. Just right there. Right? And then sometimes he'll just have you to stand and you just move. And stuff is moving all around. You just like the Matrix. You just chilling. Because he'll show it to you. He said, don't get along. Right? Because if we look at where God wants us to go, we may not want to take that journey. But we're saying, all to Jesus I surrender. I'm not going down there though. All to him I freely. Oh no, Lord, hold, time out. And what God desires of us is not to put any boundaries on what he would have you to do. Somebody say, I'm ready. The prophet said, send me, I'll go. How many people are ready to say that? Put your hand up and mean it. Send me, I'll go. And remember, you're saying, put your hands down. We do it like this. Everybody that, how can I do this and be correct? Just do it. Somebody did a Nike commercial. Just do it. Just. Somebody shout, I trust God. No, no, I trust God. You say you getting a little hyped up there, but it's an affirmation that I declare that I trust God. There go the glasses. I'm telling, I trust God. Because what's going to happen is, Brother Dave, come here for me. Oh, thank you. You can hold on to those. I'll throw them down again. That's good, man. Only one time. Say, I trust God.
I trust God.
No, no, you. I know. I was speaking to them. I wasn't ready for that. Bless you. I think my equilibrium was off a little bit. But what I want us to understand is God desires us without restriction. Now, I'm not God, and I'm not Jesus. We're just doing an example here, if you would, okay? You say, he was God. No, I'm just saying, I'm pretending. Say, pretending. Okay, stand right behind me. Okay, you're following who?
Al Killen.
I'm supposed to be God.
I know.
But, oh, okay. Okay, are you with me?
Yeah.
Oh, are you with me? Okay, so now wherever I'm going and wherever I'm leading and the pastor says, I want you, is he around? Don't answer. But he wants us to go behind him, wherever he's leading. And sometimes people don't want to go where he's leading, you know, because they're afraid. Whew. Only one time I've done that and I hit the ground. The point that I'm making is that we must be willing to trust God and go wherever. See, when we can feel him, he's in the wrong place. He should always be in front of us, guiding us, leading us. Carlton. Okay, now here we go. Now you face this way, that wall. You face that wall. You face that wall. Sam, get behind me and face the pulpit. What God is desiring of us, in Psalm 34, you quoted it earlier in prayer this morning. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then it jumps down and says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear the Lord. So when I move, I got power. So when I move, you guys got to make sure y'all got me because you've been dispatched by God to move for my protection. So when I start walking, come on, fellas, come on. What? So when they send me to a place that I don't know the language, when they send me to a place I don't understand the culture, I'm not fearing anything because God has wonderfully protected me. What? I wish somebody would. You see these angels? What? You can't touch me. But what will happen? Freeze, angels. We want to get out because we want some of what the world is offering. I just want to sow my oats. I just want a time in a big city. Remember, Lot ended up in a big city. His uncle had to go get him. I'm not putting the city down, y'all. I'm just saying we want to make sure that what we desire is lined up with what God wants us to do, and it'll keep us on focus. Okay, you guys take me back to the stage. Give him a hand. Praise God, but the harvest is plenty, and I know I'm out of time, but he desires us. And my question or the challenge today, are you really willing to step out? As pastor, as the associate pastor here, and some of your leaders are moving behind the vision that God has given them, will you follow? Or will it get too hot, too chaotic, or doesn't make sense to you? And say, well, I don't know where they got that from. And I submit to us today that we were not saved purely so we can look good. We look good. Give yourselves a hand. Well, I spent some time this morning. Come on, ladies. Put your hand up, and you know you're looking good this morning, ladies. Come on. Oh, y'all gonna put your fellas, your wives look good. Put your hands up. See how smart they are? See how you've trained them? They will sleep on a couch if they don't put their hand up. They're not stupid. They may act like they don't hear you sometimes. Ladies, do they look good? Yes, my wife looks good. It's important, but I submit to us that God did not save us just for that. He's grabbed us, and we're gravitating to him because he wants to take us somewhere. And there's something in the scripture. It says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you by name. And my question to the youngest, to the oldest, and you don't have to answer, are you ready to follow Jesus? Are you ready to engage the harvest? And I like what he says. He says, pray to the Lord for the harvest. See, because when we go to God, he's going to show, I need that team over there praying. I need that team over there doing this and that team over there doing that. And we know that God will succeed and his word will not come back void. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your covering that has allowed us to be here today just to say thank you. Lord, this is the first Sunday of 2013, and we're here, and we're ready to meet the harvest. Do with us as you see fit, Father. Lord, I pray that you would tear down strongholds that have gotten us complacent. Lord, that you remove stumbling blocks that keep us from going where you would have us to go. Father, help us to be always on fire for you, and that if given the choice between this or that, let it be you. We thank you. We thank you because so many times you've made a way out of no way. So many times you've kept us healthy. You've kept us whole. And we bless you for that, Lord. But Lord, we are your people and you are our God. And we declare that we will serve you and do what it is that you would have us to do. So Father, here in Finland Mennonite Church, Lord, I pray for the leaders. I pray for the harvest. And I pray, Father, that your will would be done. We thank you and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.